This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, it is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and I am so excited to be here. The week is almost over. Your questions are incredible. We're going to talk more about, you have a bunch of questions about Hegseth. We'll discuss that. Border Patrol, should they be allowed to fire upon illegals? Ooh, that's spicy. What are my thoughts on homeschooling? When was America at its best? At what point in history? My favorite military commanders of all time. These might be the greatest questions ever. It's going to be a magnificent day on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin right here because it's still majorly in the news, and it is the fight that's right in front of us right now. The confirmed Pete Hegseth fight. And I have a bunch of emails of Dear Lady Fingers. It's not very nice. How about a guy named Jesse Kelly for SecDef? Okay. Guy says, Jesse, if I support Pete Hegseth, but if the low T GOP doesn't confirm him, I'd love to see Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller in that role. So on and so forth. He's that brave Marine who blew the whistle on all the garbage in Afghanistan. Okay. Got a bunch of stuff like that. And Pete Hegseth's out there not backing off, and Trump, to his credit, is now getting public with his backing of him. Here was Pete.
You fight, you go do tough things in tough places on behalf of your country, and sometimes that changes you a little bit. And by the grace of God and my Lord and Savior, I had an opportunity to come on up out of it and do great things with great veterans organizations that fought for vets, that fought for reform at the VA and for war fighters, and at the Fox News Channel to advocate for those very same causes. And I'm proud of what I fought for. I'm not going to back down from them one bit. I will answer all of these senators' questions, but this will not be a process tried in the media.
Okay. How much do you know about the story of Hernan Cortez? We've talked about him before, so if you've listened at length, you know about Hernan Cortez. And we're not going to do a ton of history here, but Hernan Cortez, his conquest of the Aztecs is one of the great stories in the history of mankind. I realize how long the span of history is and how many stories those are. But wow, you want to talk about guts. This guy was just an adventurer, a Spanish adventurer. And what he goes through in Mexico, making peace with, going to war with, treason, violence, the wars, human sacrifice of his men. He almost died so many times. The story of Hernan Cortez conquering the Aztecs, if you don't know about it, go read about it. And if the first book you pick up, paints Hernan Cortez as the devil and the Aztecs as these saintly natives, then burn that book in your backyard and go pick up a different book. It's one of the great stories in history. Honestly, I've thought about this. Maybe one day I will do it, doing a multi-part series on Hernan Cortez and his conquest. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go, sorry, you're not going to get all the spicy stuff, but I'll give you one of the great parts of it. And there's so many great parts of it. So many. But one of the great parts of it is this. Cortez, you see, he was in Cuba at the time. The Spanish were in Cuba at the time. And remember, this is ancient times as far as we're concerned here. Mexico was the wild, wild wilderness. People in Mexico, Central America, explorers had ventured into Mexico, and most of them never came back. And the ones who did come back brought back stories that you would tell around the campfire as a kid. Human sacrifice, natives going crazy, whooping and hollering, cutting people's hearts out as they're still breathing. It's those kind of stories. And Hernan Cortez, in search of fame and glory, I don't want to make him seem like some kind of a saint. Hernan Cortes starts to lobby the Cuban governor, Spanish guy. Hey, can I have some men and some horses? Just a couple hundred of them. I want to go explore that place. Governor gives him permission. Sure, sure. Go ahead, Cortes. And then the governor, it's a lot of soap opera drama with this story. Then the governor decides against it. Decides, you know what? This Cortes has ticked me off. I'm rescinding the order. Cortes finds out the order's been rescinded. The messenger who's supposed to bring the order to Cortes gets murdered by somebody and they find him in a ditch. So the letter never got delivered. Cortes knows the governor is coming. He quickly releases the ropes of the ships and starts taking off. It is said, the story goes, the governor runs down to the docks and is shouting at Cortes as Cortes is sailing off. This is a true story. And then Cortes gets over to Mexico. Well, I'm going to classify all this as Mexico, right? And I believe it was actually Mexico, but it may have been Central America somewhere. But he's over in that part of the world where the Mayans are and the Aztecs are and all this violence. And remember, this is unsettled, wild territory, and he's not marching in with an army of 10,000 foot soldiers. A few hundred dudes. Cortes, he gets there. They get off the boats. Imagine what that feeling is like. You are in hostile territory. You're getting off on the beach in a hostile area, and all you've heard about are stories about guys getting their hearts cut out while they're still alive in this area. You are in danger. And you know what Cortes does? He burns the boats. All those boats, all those ships that brought them there, I think he left one if I remember right, but all those ships that brought them there, he lit them on fire and burnt them in front of his men. Why? Because he knew the danger. He knew the fear. And more than anything, he knew that sometimes, every now and then, you don't want to make a habit of it, every now and then, you must, in the interest of winning, eliminate any kind of a fallback plan. We win or we die. Burn the boats. There is no going back. This is the only place we're going to be. We conquer and fight our way through this stuff, or we are never going home again. You see the boats, boys? They're on fire. I suggest you steel yourselves for some hard times. And hard times they most definitely had. You remember BK, our friend of the show, World News with BK, the former Air Force PJ, you know, one of those spec ops types. Remember what he said last time I had him on? I was asking about the guys who make it through SEAL training and PJ training and things like that. Remember what BK said, the guys who fail? He said guys will reach out and they'll tell him, hey, I was thinking about becoming a SEAL, or if that doesn't work out, you know, going into accounting. And BK basically said, yeah, you're not going to make it. The guys who make it through, they have the mentality, there is no fallback plan. The boats have been burnt. There's no second job. I'm here. I will die or I will make it through. We already had Trump's biggest and most important appointment, his attorney general, Matt Gaetz. It was already shot down and destroyed by the United States Senate. Right now, there is a war between you and Trump, well, you and Trump on the same side, and the Republicans in the United States Senate. And battle number one goes to the Republicans in the United States Senate. The ones who voted to confirm all of Joe Biden's appointments, they are at war with you. They are at war with reform. They want to stop the draining of the swamp. And they have already won the first critical battle. And so I hear all these rumors out there about Ron DeSantis. There's a lot of rumors out there that Ron DeSantis is going to be the new SecDef pick. And I love Ron DeSantis, best governor in the country. I voted for him in the primary. I love the freaking guy so much. And he would be the best SecDef in the history of the world. And I flatly say no. I reject it.
I reject anybody but Pete Hegseth. And that is not from some undying loyalty to Pete Hegseth, although I do like him and he is a friend and I do want him to go through. That is because we must burn the boats now. There is no going back. If we allow the GOP Senate to shoot down 2 for 2 of Trump's cabinet appointments, then Donald Trump is not going to accomplish a single thing. We are going to lose. We have got to drop this mentality. It is all in now. All the chips to the center of the table. It is Hegseth or bust. We must shove this through no matter what. Nothing else is acceptable now. It's time to burn the boats. All right? All right. Get some chalk in you. Get yourself ready. Get yourself ready. It's fight time, baby. I love this time. It's fight time. CHOQ. Natural herbal supplements. The anti-communists at Chalk, you know what they're not doing right now? Fading away. We'll think, I'm too scared. Maybe we should do something else. No. Because they're full of energy. Their minds are working good. And they're happy warriors in good moods. Because their T levels are through the roof. Male Vitality Stack from Chalk. Natural herbal supplements will have you feeling good all the time. Although it may also have your wife insult you. You know what happened to me today? I was home, and before I left for work, Fred came up and threw his big, fat, fluffy face on me. And I was snuggling with Fred a little bit, and Aub caught me. And she said, did you take your chalk this morning? So that wasn't very nice. CHOQ.com. Get your T levels up, even though you'll probably snuggle with Fred. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse, Christmas special time. Go get a subscription. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. I love you guys. I'm in such a good mood. Anyway, if you want to email us, you can. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Joe Biden took in the Christmas lights last night. Kind of reminded me of what I had to do at Christmas time or Thanksgiving time with my mom.
3, 2, 1.
Whoa! I did the fake excitement thing. So I told you. The boys and I, and Ob, obviously, we included her in Thanksgiving. We got together with my sister and my mom for Thanksgiving. And it was a little heavy, as you can imagine. But my mom wanted to do a Christmas lights ceremony. And I don't know why she wanted to do this, because everyone knows my family's just terrible. We're just terrible to each other. It's awful, as you can imagine. It's just awful. And we all go outside, and the lights get plugged in, and they do look good, but of course, it's just Christmas lights, right? So the boys are as bad as I am now. Everyone started doing the, wow, this is amazing. Just ruined the entire thing. Let's get back to the questions. Enough of this nonsense. Jesse, when do you think America as a whole was at its best, and why? Well, at its best is a hard question to answer. But if I had to put a point on it, I would say about the 1920s. And here's why. Here's why. America, obviously, it's hard to grow a country from its inception. So we go through these huge things as a country. We found the nation. Okay, that was great. We had to fight a revolution. We had to fight the most powerful empire on earth. Credit to us. Okay, we won. But then we had to fight them again in 1812. All right, that's a slog. At the same time, now we have to go and we have to expand out west. We believe it is our destiny. It's inevitable to conquer the western part of this country of ours. And that is an amazing story. Not just, you know, fights with Indians and them fighting with us, right? The Indian story is part of America's story as well. It just is. The Indians who were here fighting. Imagine being a people and being conquered and choosing, when do you fight? Do you fight at all? Do you just go along? And that story is amazing. And then you have the bravery of the people. I watched a Western. I was on a flight, was it last week, 2 weeks ago? I was on a flight last week. Let's call it last week. And they had a new movie out, a new Western out called Horizon. It wasn't, from what I understand, it wasn't well reviewed. And I don't want to give you a review of a movie because I don't generally do pop culture stuff. And I don't know if you can trust me on it. I loved it. But I need to explain. I love Westerns. You know, the essence of the movie is people moving out west, and there's cowboys and Indians and robbers and violence and craziness. Kevin Costner's in it, but I loved all 3 hours of it, and it gives you the different perspective of the settlers and the troops and the cowboys and the miners and the. And I'm not telling you it's a good movie because I am so biased towards Western expansion and admiring the Apaches who were fighting for it and us who were fighting them and the troops. I am such a big admirer of just the adventure and the bravery of it all that I'm not a good judge of the movie. I enjoyed every second of it. Totally loved it. Because Western expansion to me, I don't want to say it's our best time. I'm not saying that. I'll get to 1920 in a moment. I think it's such an awesome tale of America to throw your family, your wife, your kids in a covered wagon, and you get on a wagon train, starts in Missouri. That's usually where a lot of them started. It started in Missouri. And you take off out west, and it's danger, and it's deprivation. It's cold. It's hot. It's this. And you're just carving out a living, hoping to carve out a living, a better life for yourself and your family somewhere, and risking it all to do so. The mountains, like the mountain men, the miners in the inhospitable mountains. And it's not, look, Montana, you know, that's where I grew up. I moved there when I was 10. Montana can be dangerous and inhospitable today, extremely so. Montana itself will kill many people every year. Now, that's today. We have heaters and long johns and fancy clothes and gloves and all these other things. What was Montana like in 1840 when you had a horse? And if your horse happened to die or break a leg going through the mountain pass, they might never find your body again. That's awesome. And then the Civil War. I'm not going to go into the Civil War. It was just such an awful, awful thing. I love it. I'm totally fascinated by the conflict. It was just a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. Americans slaughtering each other like that. It's awful, awful. But again, that's a nation grows, and it grows painfully. And then we come out of that. And now we're finally done with slavery, which is a good thing, right? It's good to be done with slavery. So we come out of that. And just there are so many things. So all that leading us to kind of the 1920s. And I'll tell you why I kind of think that's the superior period of time. And then we'll talk about homeschooling. And someone wants to know if the Border Patrol should be allowed to shoot illegals. Before we do that, let's talk about Tunnel to Towers. I'll tell you what, that's another great period in American history. Post 9/11. Obviously, 9/11 was awful. There's nothing great to say about it. But post 9/11, you really saw people come together and support each other in a time of devastating loss and tragedy. And that's when Tunnel to Towers was born, obviously. And from there, all those years ago, over 20 years ago now, they've been helping Gold Star families, paying off mortgages for widows and orphans, fallen first responder families. That cop who gets ambushed, doesn't come home, wife, kids left behind, where do they turn? Tunnel to Towers is there. Veterans who've been catastrophically injured, they're building them smart homes. If you've ever wondered if you've ever done any good, if you give $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers, you do a lot of good. A lot of good, and I hope you're proud of yourself. Tis the season. Sign up. I know you've thought about it before. Sign up. Sign up to give it automatically. You never know it's gone. $11 a month. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Before we
get back to the questions. I heard James Carville. We've been playing a lot of James Carville. He's been out there a lot. And sometimes these people are so insanely, insanely naive, even smart people.
The central point of all of this, is the most tragic figure in American politics in my lifetime is President Biden. If he would have, in September of 2023, or August, said that he wasn't going to run, we would have won this election. And it wouldn't have been that close because we'd have had so many freaking talented people that were running. And he would be sitting here right now, getting ready to leave on a high note.
You know, naivete can really, really burn you. And, you know, I get emails sometimes, and I'm not criticizing you. I'm really not. But I'll get emails sometimes, and I know your heart's in the right place, and they'll say things like, well, Jesse, I don't understand why we can't just, here's a good one. Why don't we just stop all benefits to illegals? Just cut off their welfare. Then they'll go home. Well, yeah, that sounds great. Who's going to do that? You see, that's not realistic. Who's going to do that? Because you're going to have to bank on Democrats participating. You're going to have to bank on blue states participating. Even if you got Texas to do that, which is great, New York wouldn't. California's not going to. Who's going to do that? You know, it's a simple sounding solution that's not realistic. It's just not. And these people, these Democrats like Carville, they complain because Joe Biden stuck around. If he just bowed out in September, Joe Biden has been an ambitious politician since the day he began. His family groomed him to be in politics. And from the moment he got into politics, he was always doing that thing so many of them do, getting the next job and the next job and the next job and the next job and the next job. And finally, Joe Biden, he's a senator. And it looks like that's kind of where he's going to cap because he's a moron and no one's going to do anything else. But then Barack Obama runs, and Barack Obama's this young dude, no foreign policy experience, and he's black. So he needs to white up the ticket a little bit, and he needs to get more foreign policy on there. So he goes and finds the old white guy and says, hey, Joe. And so now Joe Biden, who was really capped as a senator, boom, he's the vice president of the United States, okay? Vice president. Now, if you run it for office, president's always on your mind, or at least someone will mention it to you, and you'll think, well, maybe one day. So now he's vice president of the United States, and Barack Obama does 8 years, and Joe Biden walks away. And he went from being vice president, senator, to nothing. He was just a dude, just retired. And then you morons, because you didn't want Bernie Sanders to win the primary, you went and you plucked Joe Biden out of retirement and you handed him the White House. That's what they did. Remember, they handed Joe Biden the nomination. They plucked him from retirement, dumped a bunch of money on him. Remember, they ran every other Democrat out of the primary to hand the primary to Joe Biden. And then after they handed the primary to Joe Biden, they used Mark Zuckerberg's $400 million and a bunch of dirty commie cheating tactics to cheat Donald Trump out of the election. So Joe Biden was handed the nomination, handed the White House. You plucked a man, an ambitious man from retirement, and you dropped him into the seat of the most powerful man on the planet. You took a guy who was sipping sweet tea in Delaware and you dropped him into the Oval Office and you thought, you thought he was going to give it up? You thought, for what, the good of the party? You thought there was a chance he was just going to give it up without a fight? How naive are these people? It's an insane way of thinking. I don't get it at all. Jesse, in this day's society, oh, wait, I forgot to finish my thought on best period of time in American history. So I already talked about the Civil War and all those things. And then we came out of all that, and America's industrial might. It was always evident that we were going to have potential. But we really found our footing. Late 1800s, 1900, when the world was kind of starting to industrialize, really, America was an industrial machine. And there were jobs everywhere, and the economy was growing. We were turning into an international juggernaut at that time. Early 1900s, about that time. And we were churning and burning. Plus, women didn't have the right to vote, so it was a lot better period of time when it came to our politics. And then World War I happened. And I'm not going to say it screwed everything up, but World War I was the first, the very, very first taste the elites in this country got of how wonderful war can be for them. They really, Woodrow Wilson really did everything possible to manipulate our way into that war. We were pulling some pretty shady stuff, sending munitions to Britain and whatnot when we weren't really supposed to. Anyway, pulled some shady stuff to get us in, and then the elites figured out, wait a minute, war is good for my power. War is good for us. It's bad for all the people who die, of course, but who cares about them? They're just the peasants. War is good for me. But then post-World War I, we didn't stay on that footing. We went right back to, again, this is why I said 1920, went right back to that mentality of we mind our own business. We are operating our own country here. We'll trade with everyone, but we have it great in America. We have all the natural resources we need. We have enough land. We have enough living space for everybody. We are lacking nothing. If we can just hold this together, we are so blessed by God. Generation after generation after generation after generation is going to be blessed to live in a country this prosperous, this industrial. There will be jobs to go around. It will be great. And then we just kind of started slowly but surely to grow the size of government because the Great Depression happened. We started to blow up, FDR really authored this, blow up the size of government, grow the size of government into the insane juggernaut it is now. If you were to sit down to founding fathers and tell them the federal government would be the largest landowner and largest employer one day, they would have just handed the country right back to the British. They would have. They would have said, "Oh my God, wait, what? Are you what? No, they'd think you were joking." If you could travel back in time and you could have dinner with George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, and you'd have to watch George Washington try to chew with those wooden teeth and stuff like that. But if you were to sit down with George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and you were to tell them, "Hey guys, about 250 years from now, this country you're fighting for, this limited federal government, going to be the largest, most powerful entity in the country. They'll own the most land. They'll be the biggest insurer, biggest employer. And you know what? The national debt is going to crush the country." They would be mortified. I could actually picture Thomas Jefferson. I always figured he was kind of a dork sitting there. I would bet you would just start sobbing. I bet you would just start sobbing. "Wait, no, what? Please don't. No, Thomas, I'm sorry. Yeah, if we really screwed the whole thing up here." Gosh. Anyway, enough of that. Let's talk about homeschooling, shall we? And other things. Before we talk about that, let's talk about the IFCJ. Talk about carving a civilization out of the wilderness. Israel's been surrounded by enemies since its inception, always under attack. And it's the people there who suffer. That's really where my heart has always been. I know where your heart has been. It's been the people on the ground, the people who have to die. The people who have to hide in bomb shelters, the people who have to have friggin' flak jackets at the local bus stop. I mean, that's a terrible, terrible place to be, but that's where they are. So who's going to help them? Who's going to provide for them? The IFCJ is the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. And you can help them help the people on the ground. 'Tis the season anyway. Go to supportifcj.org to learn more. Or you can give them a call, 888-488-IFCJ. Seems like a good season to help some people who need some help, doesn't it? Support ifcj.org. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, an amazing Friday. We'll get back to the emails in a moment. Let's go to the voicemails, because you can leave those, 877-377-4373.
Hey, Jesse, this is Joe from Wisconsin. I was just wondering, you said the other day that Pete Hegseth, if he was brought in, he would change the military stuff so that women couldn't be in combat. I was just wondering if that would at all affect you if you were going in, since you have such feminine small hands. Thanks for the time. Bye.
I hate you guys. We're not doing any more voicemails, Chris. Close the voicemail lines, Chris. I don't want anyone to be able to leave us any more voicemail. Hello. In this day's society and the apparent decline of our education system, what are your thoughts on homeschooling? My husband and I have a four-month-old daughter. We have no interest in her being exposed to public or even, in most cases, private schools when she gets to that age. You're welcome to say my name. And her name is Alyssa. Oh, I think homeschooling is like the greatest thing in the history of the world. And we, if we didn't have access to a school we loved, then we would already be homeschooling in our home. The homeschool people I know, the homeschool children I know, they know more than their friends. They are way more knowledgeable about things. They have not been poisoned because, listen, what's the best way I can describe? Okay, let's put it this way. You know, I read a story about a guy. In fact, I'm not going to give out his name, but it's a true story. I know that. And the guy had a really, really rough childhood. His parents were terrible. And at one point, he and his brother had to leave their parents' home. And one of their family friends ran a brothel. Okay? A brothel. This is a true story. Where ladies of the night plied their trade. And he and his brother were so desperate for warmth and food. They were kids. That this family friend took them in, and they were raised inside of this brothel. And this guy obviously went on to have a lot of problems in his life. By the grace of God, he overcame a lot of things, but he was talking about his childhood, and to hear him describe what his life was like as a kid, how do you overcome being surrounded by filth like that, in an environment like that? Your environment, where you spend so much of your time, has so much to do with your worldview and how you turn out. It just does. And so when you take your child, and believe me, look, I went to nothing but government schools. It's not like I was in fancy private schools or something. I was in government schools and not very good ones. You know, but when you take your child, given how poisoned the education system has become against everything good, because it's run by communists, because it's run by people who hate us. You take your child for 7-8 hours a day and you immerse them in that, it is going to have an effect on them. And I'm not lecturing anybody. My kids have done the public school thing. Like I've been there, and I know. And sometimes you don't have any choice at all. The truth is, if you can take your kids and nurture them and educate them yourself, and they have incredible resources now for homeschooling. When you talk about homeschooling, here's what a lot of people think. They'll talk themselves down. Well, I wasn't a very good student. How am I supposed to teach algebra? I don't know algebra. Jesse, I don't know history. I can't. No. You don't understand the online resources now that are available for homeschooling. There is, you have every resource in the world that will allow you, yes, you, to educate your child the exact way you want to educate your child, and your child will be better off for it. The homeschool kids have fewer problems, fewer drug abuse problems. They get better grades. They go on to, every metric, the homeschool kids are dominating the other kids in this society. If it's something you are considering, I would highly, highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. For sure. Jesse, what's the best retort to being called a Nazi? Stalin, Mao, Pol Pot? Okay, first, remember, I already explained yesterday why they call you a Nazi. I explained that. But you also need to understand they do the Nazi thing for another reason. If you want to know exactly why they call people Nazis, you're going to have to go download the podcast, The Last Night Show. I gave a long answer on this. There's a historical aspect to this and whatnot. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, you can go download that. I'll go over it again. But there's another reason why they call you a Nazi. It's to get you distracted and off the subject. Remember, the facts aren't with them, and they know that. They're aware of that. So when they learn to argue politics, they learn to be loud, they learn to lie, they learn to change the subject, and they learn to insult you, because insulting you can get you off the topic. And if it's off the topic, if you get off the topic, they win, right? If I come home and I forgot to take the trash out this morning, and now the trash is overflowing, and we're stuck with overflowing trash for a week, and it was 100% my fault, and I walk in, and Ob says, it's not like she would be mean about it, but if Ob says, oh, way to go, idiot, she wouldn't say that, way to go, idiot, you forgot to take the trash out, I can, in that moment, I'm in the wrong, I can say sorry, or, because the facts aren't with me, I can say, you know what, I feel like you've been putting on weight. Now, that's completely rude, and no, it's not something I'm going to say, and no, she hasn't been, but if I say that to her, are we going to be arguing about the trash can any longer? Chris is laughing. No, we are most definitely not. We're going to argue about how rude I am and this and that, and that. But the subject changed from something that made me look bad into something totally, totally separate. We're no longer arguing about me being an idiot and forgetting to take out the trash. When they call you a Nazi, ignore it. They're calling you a Nazi to create an emotional response in you that will get you sidetracked, that will get you off the subject. Just let it go. You're not a Nazi. At least I hope you're not a Nazi. You're not a Nazi. So who cares? Let it go. Move on. All right? All right. The Border Patrol, should they be shooting illegals? I will finally dig into this in a moment. We still have 2 hours left, and it's going to be an amazing 2 hours. Let's first hook you up with a brand new cell phone. New cell phone and a new cell phone service for less money. That sound good? I know what you're paying now, because I had T-Mobile before I switched to Pure Talk. I've had Verizon, I've had AT&T. I know the ridiculous cost of mobile service. And you know why you pay that much? Because they put a store on every street corner. You're paying for all that overhead. Well, Pure Talk handles everything through the phone and through the mail. They're not going to open up 10 new stores that you and I have to pay for together. That's why when I switched to Pure Talk, I started paying half. Oh, and I got a new phone too, brand new iPhone. You need a new phone? New Android, iPhone, they've got that too. Switch to the patriotic cell phone company. Save yourself some money. Get a new phone for yourself or a loved one for Christmas. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an extra 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.